thrives on knowledge and intuition. One man has consistently defied odds, challenging the status quo, pushing boundaries and guiding us into the depths of human wisdom. This man, known to us only as Ken, has been the guiding light in a labyrinth of confusion, the harbinger of discernment in an era of information overload. For years, he has ignited minds and sparked countless debates with provocative questions and thought-provoking answers on the show that redefined the way we perceive our reality, Ken's Think Tank. Season after season, Ken and his guests have unearthed truths, unraveled mysteries, and inspired us to think, question, and wonder. But all good things must come to an end. Now, the shadows of the final curtain begin to loom as we brace ourselves for the grand conclusion. The stakes have never been higher, the questions never more profound, the answers never more essential. This is the final frontier of enlightenment, the ultimate pursuit of knowledge. Get ready to embark on the last journey into the abyss of the human mind, where every episode will strike a chord, every revelation will resonate deeper than ever before. Prepare for the explosive culmination of a saga that has held us in its grasp, leaving us thirsty for more. It's not just a season, it's the end of an era. It's the final call to those who dare to challenge conventions, break out of the mold, and unravel the tapestry of existence. This is the final season of Ken's Think Tank. Dive in as the final chapter unfolds and the legacy of Ken continues to inspire, question, and ignite thought. One last time, let's tank up our minds and think. Okay, let's lighten it up a bit. That was a bit dramatic. Yes, this is the last season of Ken's Think Tank. This project began as an idea, an old GoPro camera and a headphone boom mic taped to the roof of my truck. It quickly evolved into a full production with a lot of really cool guests. But the world keeps spinning and changing, and we must change with it. Ken Collins Marketing, the parent company to Ken's Think Tank, has outgrown the show. While it has been one of the most fun things I've ever done, after 7 years, it's time to end on a high note. This is one of the 10 final episodes. I've reached back to my collection and pulled out 10 episodes to feature in no particular order. Can you guess who will be featured in our final episode when the series ends in late October? Comment below and let me know your guess. Next up, from Season 2, Episode 2, The Zia Chicks. These two very cool ladies were my very first musical guests, and they've been my most popular. I'm sure that most of you turn the radio on when you get in your car and drive. I do that too, until I have a chance to put actual musicians in the truck with me and have them play music as we roll down the streets. Their version of Fix You is one of my all-time favorites. Enjoy.
The Zia Chicks are my guests today, and you are in for a treat. Cecilia and Monica collectively form what has to be the cutest duo in Farmington, the Zia Chicks. Cecilia is the VP of Administration at Animus Credit Union. She's smart, she's pretty, she's a little bit silly, and she can belt out a song. Monica is the orchestra director at Farmington High School. She's smart, she's as cute as a button, she can play the guitar, and she can also belt out a song. I've known Cecilia for a few years and I always, always, always enjoy talking with her. She's just an absolutely lovely person. I've even heard she performs a cooking show. Will we discuss it today? Keep watching. I've never actually met Monica before today, but she is absolutely adorable. Her passion is music, 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 and she's so good. So I'm on the way to pick up a couple of chicks, strap them in the think tank, and crank out some tunes, Zia Chick style. What you're about to watch is the most fun I've had filming an episode to date. Want to see how it goes? Come along for the ride in Ken's Think Tank. Let's tell people kind of who you guys are. So Cecilia, you were born and raised here?
Born and raised in Farmington.
Go Scorps!
go Timmins Titans, go Farmington
right?
Scorpions, and all that, yeah.
Okay. And then you've been at
Animus Credit
for a while.
For a long, long time.
Couple years.
Around 30 or so.
That's a few. Yeah.
A little bit of time there.
Cool. So what do you do there?
I'm vice president of administration. I'm over IT and marketing.
Monica told me something about a cooking show.
Yes.
Explain. I have to have an explanation.
Oh my goodness.
About
so
I purposefully
good.
Did not ask her any more questions about that. I thought, oh, I want to be just as surprised as everyone else. So.
Well, okay, so like, cooking show.
So good.
I just like to pretend that I'm being filmed.
Yeah.
In my own kitchen, and I have my own little cooking show, so I have to describe all the different ways that I tweak recipes and stuff like that, because it's just fun.
It is fun.
I like to use different accents on occasion, so,
brilliant.
So that I don't get bored, because that would be awful. Sitting in the kitchen and talking to yourself.
Now, Ken, ask her if she does this out loud.
Yeah.
Yes,
you
I do. I do. Well, I have
absolutely.
To. I mean, because
yes.
I can't just do it in my mind.
No.
The audience has to hear me.
The tile. Right. The tile audience.
The tile audience. Yeah, the backsplash audience must hear, and they must understand.
Yes.
I think one of the...
Everyone else needs to be just as entertained as you are in
course.
Your head. Yes.
So, you know, since it is the backsplash audience, the problem is... Clearly, they're going to have questions, so I have to speak for them as well and answer their questions.
Exactly.
So that's how that goes.
So we're driving by Ricketts, home of the Connie Mack World Series.
Yes.
Which is actually where I first became aware that you were a person on this earth.
Oh, that is wonderful.
I didn't know you, but every year I was always in press box, and every year you'd
right.
come
yes.
in and you'd sing.
Yes.
And so that's when I knew who Cecilia was
yep.
from singing.
The voice of
some...
Connie Mack.
Yeah.
This place. Well, I love Ricketts Park. I used to when I was in high school, my junior and senior year, I was the manager of the baseball team, so
yeah.
that was so much fun. So I definitely had a passion for baseball, and it was a great deal of fun. So I think I could be wrong, but I think I started when I was 18 is when I first started singing at Connie Mack, and I've pretty much sung every year since.
I think we missed one year. I think
the mouse in my pocket. Yeah.
I walk into Connie Mack like this. Oh, I'm with the singer.
Yeah.
I think one of the funnest things about it is I get to, I get to do opening. Excuse me. I get to do the opening ceremonies and I get to do the closing ceremonies. So
cool.
It's awesome to be able to do that. And another really super nice thing is, since I work at Animus Credit Union and the games are always going on during the week, occasionally they'll have somebody that doesn't show up, like the 12 o'clock game, and so they'll call me.
And
that's happened a couple of times, and they'll say, so-and-so isn't here, can you run over really quick and sing? And I absolutely, you know, I'll just zip over from work and go sing really quick and leave.
That's awesome.
So, it is, and it's, I'm so passionate about that. I absolutely love. There's just nothing. There's nothing like it. Singing. Well, I always used to sing up in the press box, and then they started doing letting me sing down on the field.
Yeah.
And
cordless
yeah,
mic.
Yeah, cordless mic. And there's nothing like it. The feeling is just. It's hard to explain.
Things she does is magic. Eo, 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 eo.
I don't think I've ever sang in a car like that before. I'm gonna put my seatbelt back on.
So, Monica, you're originally from Alamogordo?
I am, yeah.
So way down south. And then you guys decided I've had enough of that and went only one state away, but almost as far away as you could possibly get doing that trek.
That was horrible.
You went to what, like Wrangley, Colorado?
Rangeley.
Rangeley. Cool.
Rangeley, home of the Panthers. And the green and white Panthers. So when I would wear my letter jacket around here,
right.
And PV had just opened, that just really threw people for a loop. So I've been green and white all my life. My dad got transferred. It was Northwest Pipeline at the time,
okay,
which is now Williams.
Right.
And so he stole my mom and I away from all of my Mexican family, which was... That was tough.
Yeah.
It was really tough. Yeah, we went to Rangeley and I got to get raised in a small town.
Yeah.
And that was good for me. So then I graduated. I was a Colorado resident and I wanted to go to CSU, but I couldn't afford it. So I ended up in Durango at Fort Lewis.
Cool.
So that's it.
And that's how you ended up back in this area,
right? As soon as I could. Yep. I said, I'll teach anywhere when I was student teaching. And they sent me to Farmington High School to teach with Virginia Nichols.
You're not talking about going to Farmington High School to teach chess, right?
Right.
So your life revolves around music.
It does.
You've got like a music obsession.
Yeah.
So you started off with choir,
illness.
Right?
yeah, I did. I that's why I was paired up with Virginia Nichols. She was teaching at FHS at the time.
Okay.
So that was 96. And so that's the first time I taught at FHS.
That's so crazy.
And then I got really lucky because when I finished my student teaching, it was December. So usually when that happens, you have to wait, you know, until the next school year opens,
right.
But a teacher was tired of teaching and left mid school year, which is it hardly ever happens,
right.
And it was at Tibbetts Middle School, so I interviewed for the job and started teaching choir at Tibbetts and at Heights.
Cool.
And so I just ended up staying in Farmington, and I fell in love with Farmington.
Yeah.
I just it's a being raised in Rangeley, Farmington is a huge town for me.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of stop signs here. Stop lights. Look, here's a stoplight right here. Like, in Rangeley, there's one.
Right. Now you're doing orchestra?
Yeah. So,
yeah.
It's kind of funny. It just, you know, things in this life just, they just happen for a reason,
yeah.
You know? So when Virginia left Farmington High School to go get her master's, I interviewed for the Farmington High Choir job, and I didn't get it. And then when PV opened up, I auditioned for, or what is it, interviewed for the PV choir job, and I didn't get that. So meanwhile, I'm sort of just, I'm teaching choir and band at Tibbetts, and then I left for a little while because I wasn't sure what I wanted to be when I grew up, and then my vice principal called and says, okay, are you done with your fit, or can you come back? And I said, well, I've decided that I want to be a music teacher when I grow up. So I had 5 years teaching under my belt, but then I was like, no, I think I do want to do this. How convenient that I already have the degree. So when I went back, I got the choir job again. The job had changed to choir and orchestra. That first year I had one class of four. It was beautiful, and it was two violins, a viola, and a cello, so perfect string quartet. The culture of an orchestra class is bar none. I by far have the best job in the school.
That's awesome.
I really.
Your students love her. The parents and all of her students love her. It's just it's perfect.
I don't know about that, but
I
try real hard, and those that I push the kids, and I think they respond to that. The key to teaching is when you have that moment with a kid that they didn't think they could do it, but you show them that they can. Instilling that sense of pride is probably that's probably the biggest payoff for me as a teacher.
The day will soon be over and no more gems to be gathered, so let us all press on. When Jesus comes to claim us and says it is enough, the diamond will be shining no longer in the rough.
Awesome.
Isn't that a great little song?
That's really pretty. Yeah.
We like to do that.
The bumps were funny.
And I was like,
yeah.
They were making me laugh. The day.
A little unexpected reverb.
But yeah, vibrato.
Sorry.
I interrupted.
It's all right.
So let us all present.
So how did the Zia chicks come to be? How did that happen?
I'm going to tell this story, Cece.
Okay,
you don't mind.
Saying, you go right ahead.
Because Cecilia and I have been singing together for
almost 20 years.
Yeah.
Right?
For a long time, you know. But sort of privately around the campfire or at home, you know, with family. I kept telling Cecilia, I think we should do this. We ought to be like a little duo. We ought to just do a little duo thing.
Yeah.
And she's, you know, she was sort of hedge on that. And finally, I just got it through my brain that what she's nervous about is not performing as a duo, but my own guitar skills. Because I knew how to play guitar. I've known how to play guitar practically all my life.
Right.
But would we know enough songs? Could we
play a set?
Could we play a set?
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Or two or three.
Exactly. How many songs? How many songs do we know?
Right.
You know? And so we were in our band. So we were in After Midnight.
Right.
We joined After Midnight. I can't remember the year. 2011 maybe.
I'm trying to see the posters in the band.
I think it's 2011.
Yeah.
And so my guitar skills were coming up.
Yeah.
And I would tell her, I think we can do this song, just you and me.
Yeah, acoustically.
It's, acoustically. I think it's nice. It's great with the whole band, but I don't think we need that. So we started sort of borrowing the songs that Cecilia sang in After Midnight. And I don't know. Somehow we came up with enough songs. And then Cecilia and I have a different taste in music than After Midnight would be able to do.
Right.
Things like Roberta Flack or Etta James. That's not After Midnight.
Yeah.
But it is the Zia Chicks.
Yeah.
And
right.
So, yeah, I just started learning more songs. And so with that, I became more and more proficient on different chords and just I was just practicing. And I think we did our first gig with maybe 25, 30 songs maybe.
Wow. Because a friend of
he was just barely
my brother's best friends was having anniversary party.
I forgot about that party. That was probably 20 songs then.
Right.
If you want to consider that our first gig.
Okay. And well we weren't officially the Zia
Chicks
or anything like that, but just he wanted us to play and sing
at a party. At a house party.
House party.
Okay.
And so oh my goodness, I was so nervous. I was like, can we do this? Can we do this? Are we going to be, you know, all of my singing life, like being in choir in high school, I have always been such a perfectionist. And in my mind, you can't mess up. You just can't mess up. If you're going to be performing, you have to play perfectly. And I was terrified that I was going to mess up. It was just so scary to me.
Yeah.
So we did this gig, and you know, we certainly didn't do it perfectly.
Right.
But we made it through, and people liked us, and it was kind of fun. And I thought, well, yeah, that was fun. But I
told
still
her, I said,
didn't
see, we did it.
Really, really continue it as a
professional,
professional duo. You know.
Yeah. Okay.
And then it just. I can't remember.
I started. I just kept pushing. I just kept pushing, and so then I talked to Ashton. I was begging. Yeah. I talked to Ashton Gerritsen, who was working at St. Clair.
She's a general manager.
She's the general manager now, but she wasn't then.
Oh, that's right. She wasn't then.
You know, and so anyway. We did a gig at St. Clair, and it was pretty
awesome.
Darn good.
Yeah,
yeah, it was pretty darn good.
Great.
We practiced a lot, and Cecilia felt comfortable.
Yeah.
And I think at that time I had bought our new sound system, and I, you know, had my friend Mike help me, like, know how to do the sound with my new system, and blah, blah, you know.
Right.
And then we got a taste of it, and then it just... Okay, little, let's do it again. Well, let's do it again. Let's do it again.
Go ahead. When you try your best, but you don't succeed. When you get what you want, but not what you need. When you feel so tired that you can't sleep. Stuck in reverse.
Sorry.
And the tears come streaming down your face. When you lose something you can't replace. When you love someone but it goes to waste. Could it be worse? Life.
lights will guide you home and ignite your bones, and I will try to fix you. Down below, when you're too in love to let it go, but if you never try, you'll never know just what you are. Lights will guide. Face when you lose something you cannot replace. Tears stream down your face, and tears stream down your face. I promise you I will. Down your face, and lights will guide you home and ignite your bones, and I will try.
That is awesome. Hey, you can try all you like, but I don't think you can fix me.
Yes.
This was so much
this
fun.
This was a blast. This was really, really super fun. I feel kind of felt like a celebrity.
Yeah.
Best part is doing something that I love and that I'm passionate about,
right,
with this woman,
right,
who I love and I'm passionate about.
Right.
So, they just go hand in hand.
Yep.
We have such a good time. I just can't imagine. We're spoiled.
In the car.
All right.
Well,
I guess
so much
we're
fun.
Finished.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
For coming on the show.
Oh, it's so great.
Yes.
Can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
I get like your money maker for you is this.
Right.
Is this.
Shake your money maker.
Shake your money maker. Shake your money maker. You're so silly. I went there. I'm sorry.
You're so silly.
Kin's Think Tank is made possible with help from these fine sponsors. Basin Home Health and Hospice, keeping you healthy, happy, and home since 1992. Durango Joe's, with a smile, a warm greeting, and a great cup of coffee. Farmington RV Sales and Service, serving the Four Corners since 1959. I know who you are. I know what you want. If you're looking for print and radio ads, I can tell you that's not what I do. But I do have a particular set of skills. Skills I have acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me a godsend for business owners like you. If you hire Ken Collins Marketing to build your website, people who look for you online will be able to find you. But if you don't, they will look for you. They won't find you. And you'll go out of business. KenCollinsMarketing.com